One of the great things about the Apostle Paul that I certainly appreciate was his great ability to encourage others. As a preacher, as a Christian, as just someone that lives in this life, I've always been thankful for those that are ready to encourage. I unfortunately have not always been as good at turning around and encouraging others. But as you look at the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration, you begin to realize here was a man that wanted to encourage others, that wanted to help others. Maybe that is certainly true of Timothy. Here was a young man that he greatly loved, a young man that he cared for, and he wanted to encourage him. And we find that even in the scripture reading that we had tonight, we see him there. He's encouraging Timothy on in the work that he's doing. And there are great messages even here in this book that we're going to be looking at of 2 Timothy. But one great message that is through there is the Apostle Paul writing to a young person that he loves and cares for greatly in the faith, and he's encouraging him. The great wonder of that book, of course, is Paul is knowing that his life is about to end. He knows that he has been arrested. He knows that he may very well reach the end of his life because of his faithfulness, because of his proclamation of the gospel. And yet he's writing to a young man and saying, Timothy, do the same thing. Timothy, go forth in great boldness, just as I have in proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and I'm going to continue encouraging you in that for as long as I'm able. Even if, Timothy, it reaches the same spot that I'm in. I think Paul would certainly reach the end of his life and say, I would do it all over again. It would all be worth it. Believing and knowing that the glory that was to be revealed was far greater than anything that he would suffer in this life. And so I think as we look at the letters of the Apostle Paul, as you read through the Bible, I hope you'll notice time and again how often he encourages people, how often he tries to build people up. And as you notice those things, I want you to do two things. Number one, put forth a greater effort to learn from his example and be an encourager of other people. But then also, number two, to be encouraged yourself. As you look at the things that Paul wrote unto Timothy, these are things oftentimes that we can be encouraged by. But the things that Paul encouraged other congregations as he wrote to them are things that can encourage us as well. Because oftentimes the problems and the difficulties, even the joys that we go through in life, we can find others in the Bible that were going through similar circumstances and see the encouragement that was given to them. And so that's what I want to focus on as we look at this book of 2 Timothy tonight. How did Paul encourage Timothy? What can we learn from it, and what can we be encouraged by it as well? First, notice Paul encourages Timothy to be faithful. And how did he go about doing this? Well, I'm going to encourage you, Timothy, by something we've already mentioned. I'm going to show you how greatly I love you, and I'm going to mention that time and again. He shows a love, he shows a concern here for Timothy as a son. Timothy, I want you to do that which is right. I want you to do that which is good. Timothy, I want you to succeed. He's even going to call him in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, my son in the faith. As we come into this book, 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Again, here this idea of a father-son relationship almost that had developed between Paul and Timothy. And Paul is going to remind Timothy of the great love and the concern that I had for you. One lesson we begin to learn there is the necessity, as we're encouraging others, let them know of our love. Let them know of our concern. Yes, it's necessary to show love in action. We need to be doing that, but also don't think that simple actions will ever replace acknowledging, even verbally or written in this case, the love that we have for one another. Are we able to tell a brother or sister in Christ, we love you, we care for you, we want that which is best for you, we want you to be led on in those things that are right, and we're going to help you in any way that we can? Oftentimes, those simple expressions that maybe don't seem too much to us can brighten someone else's day immensely. But not only that, not only just in love, but Paul is going to encourage Timothy to be faithful in thankfulness, in gratitude. You know, there are times that we can be doing things and we don't do it for the acknowledgement of men, at least I hope we don't. But nevertheless, it can be nice from time to time to have some acknowledgement that someone says, I appreciate what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing. To know that the work that we're doing is being beneficial or being noted. Otherwise, we wonder sometimes, is it accomplishing anything? And so as Paul begins to encourage Timothy, he shows, I'm thankful. Look in chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank God who I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I remember you. I remember the attitude that you express in your life. He says in verse 4, I greatly desire to see thee being filled with, or being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned love that is in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and also in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee to remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You notice in these verses there are specific things that Paul is going to point out I'm thankful for. He's even going to tell Timothy, I thank God for these things in your life as I see them. I see your unfeigned faith. I encourage you as I'm thankful for the gift that you have, that you put it to use, that you use your abilities that you have to serve God. And so I'm thankful for all of these things. You know, again, it only takes a simple word to tell someone how much we thank them. And yet not just, well, thank you. But even coming down to where Paul's at right here, what about some specific things? Well, I'm thankful for each and every one of you. But I could begin by starting going down the list and naming some specific things that we're thankful for. If you stopped and thought about some of the things that people accomplish, if you will, behind the scenes, that rarely ever have any appreciation or thankfulness, how much it might brighten their day. You say, I really do appreciate the work that you do. I appreciate those that labor and that come up here and that clean the building. Those that make sure the Lord's Supper is out every Sunday. Those that tend to the yard. Those that make sure the lights are burning when we flip the switch. So many different things that get accomplished that we take for granted, yet we can say thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in studying with others, or the work that you're doing in visiting others. Thank you for the work that you're doing in all of these different areas, and how that can encourage us to continue in those things and continue to be faithful. But I'm also going to encourage you to continue being faithful by further instruction and a reminder of what I've taught you. I was going to remind Timothy as he goes through here, remember the things I've taught you. And here are some further even instructions he's going to tell him that will help him as he strives to be faithful. Look in chapter 1 in verse 8. He says, Be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Timothy, you be encouraged to live this faithful life. But you don't be ashamed of me. You don't be ashamed of the gospel. You keep pressing on. Timothy, this is the right life to live. And so I'm going to continue telling you, don't be ashamed of me, but live that faithful life. Continue to be faithful. Be bold, as Paul would be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was ready even to go into Rome and to proclaim it there by whatever means it was possible. Certainly, finally, Paul would reach Rome at the end of his life, and yet not in the way that he would have probably ever dreamed of or expected. And yet God was continuing to be able to use him as a proclaimer of His Word. And so be bold. In chapter 2, in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." I'm going to continue encouraging you in doing those things that are right. I want you to be faithful, and so I'm going to keep instructing you. Be firm, be bold, be strong. Verse 2 of that same chapter. "The things that you heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to also to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You go forth and you teach, even as I have taught you. You live that same type of life, a faithful life, that will proclaim that which you know to be right, that which you know to be true. And so verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I want you to be faithful. It's going to take a determination of will. It's going to take a certain hardness of character that I'm not going to back down even though I'm persecuted. And so follow that example that you would endure that hardness. Verse 14, "Of those things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers." You put the brethren in remembrance of the things that they've been taught. Even as I'm urging you to remember what you have been taught, you go forth and you teach other men also that will teach others. And you go forth and you teach the brethren as you remind them of the things that are right and those things that are good. And as you're teaching those things, you're going to be bringing them to your own memory. And you're going to be reminded of them to live them out faithfully in your life. Continue studying verse 15. "That you might show yourself approved unto God, a workman, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He's going to tell him here in verse 22, to live that faithful life, you need to make up your will, your determination, verse 22. "To flee also youthful lust, but to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You continue in those things that are right. You have this boldness, and yet he also says here in verse 24 through 26, "Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing them that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." In other words, you flee youthful lust, and then you go forth and you proclaim the gospel to others, that they be faithful as well. All of these things, all of these encouragements, I'm going to continue reminding Timothy, you live this way. You do these things in your life. There are no doubt going to be those that would say to Timothy, "You can't do it. You're a young man. You're inexperienced. You don't know what you're talking about." Paul comes to him and he says, "Timothy, you can do these things. Timothy, not only that, I expect you to go forth and do these things." In fact, in chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "Continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Timothy, I've taught you the gospel. Timothy, you know it. You go forth into the world, you live the faithful life, and you teach that faithful life to others. And so by his very word, Paul is going to encourage Timothy. But there's something else very important. And that is, Paul's going to encourage Timothy by his example. Paul's not bragging. He's not boasting of himself. Nevertheless, he is going to mention here, "You can take me as an example," as he writes to the church at Corinth. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Jesus Christ," 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11. You learn from that example and be encouraged in it. In chapter 1, verse 12, he would write, "For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You look at my example. As you jump over to chapter 2, look in verse 9 and 10. He says, "Wherefore, or wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, for the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look at me as your example. I've gone through persecutions. I've gone through difficulties. I'm even in bonds. And yet I would have you to do the same thing. I've gone through difficulties in proclaiming the gospel, but never do you see here in the life of Paul how I wish I could go back and do it differently. How I wish I hadn't gotten involved here in the proclaiming the gospel. No, instead there's the attitude, I'd do it all over again. And it's exactly what I'm encouraging you to do, Timothy. Live the faithful life and continue to proclaim the faithful life even unto others. You see it in my life. Now go forth and imitate that as the life that you also should live. You know, oftentimes I enjoy reading. Unfortunately, I don't usually make myself take the time that I should to read other things. But one thing I love to read is biographies of older preachers. Especially of the frontiers days of America. Maybe we could back it up to the Restoration time, maybe into the time of the, lack of a better word, the frontiers days, when you had preachers that would labor at great cost, that were striving and struggling to support their families, to encourage them, and they'd hop on their horse and ride through rivers and snows and rains to travel many, many miles to be able to preach for a few times at a particular location and then move on to the next place, maybe gone 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks before they could return home to their families for a short time. And, you know, there is something in there that reminds us of the great example, the great dedication that others had to the work that they were putting forth. And maybe it's others. Maybe we see someone in the congregation that's lived a faithful life of many years. And we look at them and think, I want to be like them when I grow up. I begin to recognize then that's how I have to begin living even right now. And so the examples of others around us begin to be an encouragement for us. I believe that's what Paul could be to Timothy. Here was a man Timothy could look up to with great admiration and respect. Not that he worshipped Paul, bowed down at his feet, but here is someone I want to be like. And so we as, maybe not we, older people can at times encourage those that are younger. Live a life. Sometimes we're able to say, don't make the mistakes that I've made. Here is some experience, some wisdom I've gained that I hope you'll listen to. Sometimes it's just by our actions and the things that we do. They become an encouragement to others, and certainly by Paul's example, he's able to encourage Timothy, but then also by his charge. Timothy, I charge you. I charge you, as we come into chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, I am giving you a work to do. And I charge you before God to go forth and do this. You know, sometimes I think we're afraid of pressuring young people. And certainly we need to maybe be cautious in that. And at the same time, we can go too far to the other extreme. And begin to show we don't expect anything of you. How good it is to encourage those to labor, to work, to show I have great expectations of you and all that you can accomplish. And so I want you to work hard. I want you to labor. And so here Paul is to Timothy, a young preacher. He says, I charge you before God. You go forth and you preach the word. As I think of that image, I can only imagine a high school locker room on Friday night before the team is about to head out onto the field. What the coach is going to say to that team right before they go out and they begin playing that game. This is certainly a far more important occasion. But there is all the emotion here in Paul. I charge you, you go forth and you do this work. There is something here set before you. Timothy, you've got a job to do. Now you go forth and you fulfill it. Drop down to verse 5 of chapter 4. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Watch. Endure. Work. Timothy, you be active. And you continue faithfully. And so Paul encourages Timothy to be faithful. But then you know also, there's another aspect to encouragement that sometimes is a warning. Paul encourages Timothy by warning him of others. Timothy, unfortunately, there are going to be people that disappoint you. Probably all of us have been there. Sometimes as a Christian, sometimes as a preacher, there have been others that have let me down. I look at others and I didn't expect them that of them. Expected more. And part of that reminds us not to put our trust in God, put our trust in man, but in God. And yet we need that forewarning to understand as you go through life, there are going to be people you look up to, the people you're going to have respect for. But they're not always going to do the things that you think they should. They're not always going to be the example that you think or that you expect. Paul warns Timothy, number one, there are going to be people that will disappoint you. They're going to let you down. But don't become discouraged. Look back in chapter 1. In chapter 1, in verse 15, he says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." He recognizes here, even to the point of pointing out two specific men. Here were people that let me down. Here were people that disappointed me. I expected more of them. In some way they hurt me. I'm sure there is a great brokenheartedness here in Paul as he speaks of these men. They let me down. But Timothy, you know there's going to be others that let you down in your life as well. And I think what's important is Paul turns right around in the very next verse, and even though people have disappointed me, it has not caused me to become so bitter that I can't appreciate people anymore. You know, sometimes we get burned. We think, I can't trust anyone ever again. And that's the wrong attitude to have. Paul says, yes, there were those that disappointed me, but he turns right around in verse 16 and he says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Timothy, people have disappointed me. And I have to continue moving on even when they disappoint me. But what you have to make sure is that people don't allow you to become seared to where you can no longer appreciate others. Paul says, I still greatly appreciate those that have aided me, those that have helped me in some way. And so, remember the good. Leave the rest unto God's hands. Timothy, people are going to disappoint you. Not only that, he says, Timothy, people are going to depart, but you keep doing what's right. Look in chapter 2 and verse 17. "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." Here were some that have erred from the faith. He warns Timothy in chapter 3. And you can read there in chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and he's going to say, perilous times are coming. Perilous times are coming in which men are not going to be what they should. Men are not going to be walking according to the gospel as they should. And not only that, he goes on in chapter 3, verse 6 through 8, and he warns Timothy, these same people are going to strive to lead others astray. He warns in chapter 4. After he has just said in verse 2, preach the word, he tells him why in verse 3 and 4. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. Timothy, unfortunately, it's a fact that some are going to depart from the faith. Some are not going to continue being faithful. Some are going to turn into false doctrines. Some are simply just going to quit. But you keep doing right. In chapter 4, in verse 10, he tells of Demas, who hath forsaken me. He's left. And yet I'm not going to let that stop me from doing what's good and what's right. I'm going to keep moving on, but be forewarned. People will disappoint you. People will depart from the faith. And people are going to try to destroy your work. Paul knew of people that would try to destroy his work. As he's writing to the Christians at Philippi, he reminds them, there are those that are preaching the gospel of Christ, if for no other reason than to bring more agony upon me. I'll just rejoice, at least the gospel is being preached. As he comes here, he says, some people are going to destroy your work. They're going to work against you. Go back to chapter 2 and look in verse 14. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to profit, but to the subverting of hearers. They're going to be those that come in among the areas that you're working, and they are going to diligently labor among things that aren't going to build up, that aren't going to edify. In fact, they're going to have the effect of tearing down the Lord's kingdom. And so be ready for it. He warns in chapter 3, if we go back to about verse 10, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came upon me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be evil men. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be those that work against whatever good thing you try to do in the kingdom. He even tells in chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Here's a man that is set against what we're striving to do in the kingdom. And yet, what's Paul's attitude? Timothy, you be warned, there are going to be people that work against you. But his attitude is seen there in the end of verse 14. The Lord reward him according to his works. Leave it to God. There are going to be people that try to destroy you, Timothy. You keep working and let God straighten all of that out. You keep doing that which you know is right, and that's what we have to continue doing today. You know, as we look around as Christians, there are going to be times we think that people have disappointed me. And I've become upset. And I don't know if I can keep doing it anymore. We're going to look around and there are going to be those that are depart. And maybe, sad as it might be, 2-3 years down the road, there's somebody maybe sitting in this audience that won't be here. We don't know why. They refuse to change. They're simply just not here anymore. They've departed from the faith. They're going to be those friends that we know no longer show any interest in Christianity. They've departed from it. They're going to be those that we know that simply refuse to give up false doctrines and continue to worship according to the ways of the world. And yet, what are we going to do? There are going to be those at times maybe that try to destroy the work of the Lord's church. Are we going to just quit? Paul says, know that those things are going to happen. Be warned of them. But Timothy, I encourage you. I encourage you to continue doing what's right. Notice verse 17 of chapter 4. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. People disappointed me. They departed from me and they tried to destroy me and my work that I was doing for God. And yet, all through that, the Lord stood by me. He never deserted me. He was with me all the way. And He will be with you as you continue in the work of the kingdom. And so we have to be encouraged in those same areas that Paul encourages Timothy. Be faithful, be warned of others, and then finally, remember the power of God's Word. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 13, and he tells Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ." These are sound words. This is the gospel. Hold fast to it and do not depart, even though everyone else around you might, even though they might disappoint you, even though they might depart from you, you hold fast to these sound words. It was these things, chapter 2 and verse 2, that you have heard of me and that I charge you to teach others who may be able to teach others also. These are words that need to be heard. These are words that need to be spread throughout all of the world. Keep passing them on. Keep teaching them, preaching them to others. He'd say even in chapter 2, in verse 9, that I suffer trouble. Even I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even though I've done that which is right. But notice the contrast at the end of that verse. He says, I suffer trouble even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. I don't care if they lock me up. I don't care if they put me to death. They cannot destroy the Word of God. It's going to continue being proclaimed. It's going to continue sounding forth. Don't you wonder if Paul ever maybe chuckled a little bit? The Jews tried to silence me. They tried to quiet me. And what did they do? They gave me a whole new audience to preach to. They put me in chains and sent me to Rome. Rome's where I'd been wanting to go for a long time. And now I get to preach to those of Caesar's household. I get to spend time in a house in which they didn't forbid people to come into me, and I got to preach to them. They gave me a whole new opportunity. They put me in bonds to shut me up, and all it did was allow me to preach the gospel in Rome. You can't bound the Word of God. Paul knew even as he was in chains, the Word of God was still spreading forth into the world. And so, yes, Timothy may try to destroy your work, but they can't put a chain on the Word of God. It's going to continue being proclaimed. It's that Word of God that is profitable for your study. That's why I've told you, urged you here in verse 15 of chapter 2, study to show yourself approved unto God. You labor diligently at that. Continue learning. Continue growing. Those things are profitable. Not the things of the world, not the things of philosophers, not the wisdom of men. What the world needs is the Word of God. Even in the face of false teachers, he says in chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The foundations of God stand sure. No matter what persecutions or struggles or trials that come upon you, the Word of God is going to stand sure. The promises thereof are going to continue standing sure. He reminds him of what you've been instructed. He says, continue, chapter 3 and verse 14, in the things that you have learned. Those things that you have learned even from a child, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Scriptures, verse 16, that are given by inspiration of God and that are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what you are to go forth preaching. The powerful and the inspired Word of God. And preach it. As an answer to error, as an answer to unfaithfulness, chapter 4, verse 2. You preach it whether they want to hear it or whether they don't, whether it's convenient or whether it's not, whether it's nice outside or whether it's raining, whether people give you smiles or whether they give you dirty looks. You're going to continue preaching the Word of God. It's in that confidence now. That I can trust in God, I can trust in His revealed Word, I can trust in His promises that He's given me. But Paul says, even though I'm reaching the end of my life, that I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, He says in verse 7 and 8, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I trust God. I know in whom I have believed. And Timothy, that's who I urge you to put your faith and your trust in as well. That you reach the end of that life, you continue putting your faith, your trust here, even in the power of God's Word that's spreading forth, that power of God unto salvation. Recognize the importance of studying it, recognizing the importance of sounding it forth into the world, recognizing the importance of putting your faith and your trust in God, that when you reach the end of your life, you might have that same confidence. I know whom I have believed, and I'm ready to receive that reward that He has promised me. Timothy, no matter what happens to me, you go on faithfully. Even though I might be shortly put to death, no matter what others will say about me, no matter what others will say about the Word of God, Timothy, you remain faithful and preach the Word of God. That's the same encouragement we need to get as we read these words even today. The world will have a lot to say about the Word of God. The world may do everything it can to destroy the work that God's people are doing. Nevertheless, you continue on faithfully. You have here some of the last words that Paul would pen. And what does he find it important to do? To encourage a young person to go about in his labors for the Lord's kingdom. To encourage a person, you continue on faithfully. To warn him of some dangers that are going to come up as a stumbling block to that faithfulness, but nevertheless, don't let them distract you. And he's going to say, remember in what you trust. Remember what you're doing. Spreading forth the powerful and inspired Word of God. We face some of the same challenges, some of the same difficulties today. But don't become discouraged. As an individual, as a congregation, keep on doing the Lord's work. That was the encouragement Paul would give to Timothy. And thankfully, with those words recorded by inspiration, we continue to have that same encouragement even today. Continue in the Lord's work. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's ready to begin in the Lord's work. And we certainly would encourage you in those endeavors. May we study with you that you learn more about the Word of God and what He would have you to do in your life. That we can show what the first century Christians did in hearing the Word of God and believing it, in repenting of their sins and confessing Christ and being baptized, immersed for the remission of their sins, that they were washed away and added unto the church. May we encourage you that you've wandered away and yet you need to get back and restore, as we studied this morning, have once again that pure heart. Decide once again, I'm going to walk faithfully with God, and perhaps that's a public confession that needs to be made. We're ready to pray with you even tonight. Some other encouragement that we can give. And maybe it's just the understanding that as I read these words of Paul, of others, that I'm going to be encouraged in my Christian walk. And maybe even as we look at that great example of Paul, we can see some areas in our own life where we can help others. We can do a little better job of encouraging them as well. Won't you make that decision? And again, if that's a public decision, won't you make it known, even as together we stand and sing.